I have super good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? If you've got a Bible, turn it to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. If you know Isaiah chapter 40, it ends with one of the most encouraging, probably one of the most posterized quotes from the Bible, because it's a beautiful one about God giving us strength. In this series about renewal, this word from the Lord is one of the most beautiful. It's such a powerful word picture because it addresses things that we all deal with. Once again, we think Isaiah 40 starts off that second section of Isaiah, which is a series of prophecies and oracles that are written to encourage those pilgrims that are returning back from Babylon out of the exile. And because of that, it's so much of the heart of the gospel is found in this section. I call this section the Gospel of Isaiah, because it really is the first parts where we get to hear all of those things that Jesus quoted so often were from this section of the book of Isaiah. In fact, it's in the second part of the book of Isaiah that Jesus read from in his very first sermon in his hometown. And so here is a prophecy about people that need to be renewed. Anybody need to be renewed in this place? Well, it says this. It says, It says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard?" I love this poetry. I've been reading a lot of poetry in Hebrew, and these words are just so poignant. The way it says it, like a conversation. I mean, here he's prophesying about the words of the Lord. He says, "Don't you know? Haven't you heard?" And man, it just kind of gets you on the edge of your seat. Who is Jacob and Israel? Well, those would have been the northern kingdom before the exile. But after the exile, all 12 tribes became Jacob and Israel. So that was a way after the exile that just referred to all of the people. When they came back, most of them didn't identify. Maybe they knew what tribe they were descended from, but they didn't isolate so much. They were all just Israel. And so here's what you needed to hear, and here's what you should have known. He said, "The Lord is the everlasting God." And that word Lord is Yahweh. Yahweh is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Anybody say amen so far? Man, is that amazing? So not only is he the creator of the ends of the earth, he's everlasting. That means he's from eternity to eternity. He never runs out. He's eternal. And then he's the creator of the ends of the earth. So there's no limit to his bound of space. There's no place that he can't reach you. There's no place that he can't follow you. There's no extent that he won't go to bring you the strength that you need. And it says he will not grow tired or weary. There's two great words that he uses in this section three different times. The first one is yaga. Say yaga. It means to be exhausted from hard labor. Have you ever been yaga? I know I have. Exhausted, run out. The second word is ya'af. Say ya'af. That means fatigued from running too far. Have you ever been ya'af? So he says, but God isn't like that. He doesn't get tired from working hard, and he never gets weary from running. He can go all day long. He never runs out of strength. Don't you know? Not only is his creation eternal, not only is his strength and his grace everlasting, but it never gets tired and it never wears out. There's something else you need to know about my God, is it says his understanding no one can fathom. You can't measure it. There's no way all of us together with all of our long ruled sticks can measure the wisdom and the understanding of the Lord. His ways are above our ways, Isaiah says. Isaiah even says, so far as the east is from the west, so far as the heavens are above the earth. That's how far God's understanding is from our understanding. He knows everything. I don't. You don't. We know very little, but he knows everything. And so he is limitless in scope. He is limitless in time. He's limitless in understanding. He is limitless in his strength and his endurance. And guess what? He says he gives strength to the weary. For those that don't have strength, and he increases the power of the weak. Oh, friends, anybody ever feel weak? Anybody ever get weary? There's those words again that he uses. You ever get tired from work or from running? And he gives this great prophecy, and he ends it with this in verse 30. He says, read it with me, would you? I won't interrupt it. It says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and never be faint. I like it. Lo yagah and lo ya'af. It's never going to happen. They're going to be able to run, and they're not going to get weary, and they're going to be able to walk and never faint. What a beautiful word picture, isn't it? Anybody have this one memorized? Anybody remember it because of the song we used to sing back in the day? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Isn't it great? I loved that even when I was a kid. There were some of the songs we sang. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant when we sang, Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king? I have no idea what any of that means. But when you said they will mount up with wings like eagles, I said, I can picture that. They said, they'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. I said, oh, please, Lord. I said, I want that kind of strength in my life. Limitless, limitless. And so this is, last week there was a lot of information. This morning is more just kind of like a devotional. I could probably have a couple of dozen of you Sunday school teachers get up here and teach what this verse is talking about, because you know what it's talking about. I like how it says, doesn't it? Because this means more to me now that I'm not as young as I used to be. Anybody else not as young as you used to be? Just joke, because that's all of us, right? So verse 30 says, even youths grow tired and weary. You know, even these young squirts, they get tired. Oh man, I got to tell you, my teenagers get tired. They sleep a lot. It's a competition most days between my cats and my teenagers, which one is going to get more shut-eye in a single day. And I said, how can you be so tired? You're so young. I said, look at me. I'm an old man, and I don't sleep that much. I know it's different, and they're growing, and their bodies need it and whatever. But I'm just grateful for the Lord acknowledges. He says, you know, even young people get tired. But this is a word for you, whether or not you're young or whether or not you're old. This God is a God that gives strength to those that grow weary, and he gives power to those so that they don't faint. And so the first part of it is, I'm going to go back up a couple of verses up to verse 28. It said, the Lord is the everlasting God. I like that. The creator of the ends of the earth. And so he's everlasting in time and space. It's a way of saying that he is unlimited. If he's going to give us strength, his strength is unlimited. He never runs out. In fact, he even gives us this great word picture about eagles. Now, why are eagles a great example of this? Have you ever seen an eagle doing this? By the way, probably the eagle that this verse was talking about was the golden eagle, because that's what lives in the Middle East. This, of course, is a American bald eagle, but it's 4th of July on Tuesday, so America, am I right? So we got a bald eagle today doing it. But eagles are absolutely amazing. They are apex predators. They live for between 20 to 38 years. They live a long time. And they have eyes that can see for miles. And one of the most amazing things to me, have you ever seen them up there and gliding like this? And they're not even working at it. It looks like they're just floating. They're just doing this. And they're looking for something to eat, and they're looking for a fish. And they haven't even flexed a muscle. They're just doing this. I'm like, how do you do that? How do you just float in midair? Well, you know, they're not actually floating. They're flying. And so they had to flap to get up to that height. But then they're amazing. The reason they hunt in the daytime is because they take advantage of something called thermal columns. So when the sun comes out and it heats up the land, and you know this if you're a pilot or you've been up in the air, that hot air rises, and they fly around till they find one of these columns, and then without even work it, they go up. They float up, and they float on top of the air. And so this isn't magic, just like your plane can fly. I was telling one of my teenagers that flew for the first time a few weeks back, this is not magic, don't be nervous. This is physics. If a plane goes at a certain speed because of how their wings are designed, it has to go up. That's just the way it's built. But these eagles, They just float around like this. And on that heat, they take advantage of what the Lord has given them. They take advantage of what the Lord has built into creation. What I love about this, and think that Isaiah was talking about it, God has built into the very fabric of creation this process of renewal. You know, friends, can I just go back to the eagle for just a second? Let me see your wings. This is, by the way, why we worship like this. Put those wings out. How many have been working really hard and could use one of these seasons where you just discover the wind beneath your wings and you look down and you said, Lord, it says it's because of you. You're the one that upholds me. And so he gives us this, read preachers, those that hope in the Lord, that word kavah means to wait for something or to look forward to it, to look for it, basically. And so hope is a good translation. Wait on the Lord. The King James is a good one. It means those that are just putting, that are looking to the Lord for their strength. They're in a good place. Why? Because they're going to rise up with wings like eagles. Because God's going to be their support. He's going to come along and he's going to carry you. Even when you don't have strength to do it yourself. Anybody say amen? Say amen. Psalm 103:2. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. He satisfies you with the good things so that you can be girded up. Friends, if you're finding yourself running out of your own strength, tap into the Lord's, because his is limitless. He never runs out. He said the Lord never gets ya'af. He never gets yaga. He always has more. Our strength is finite, but God's strength is everlasting. Anybody say amen? Amen. There's a place in Revelation where it talks about an eagle too. And a lot of people argue about what the book of Revelation has started. But this one part is a beautiful picture about God rescuing the church. And it says in Revelation chapter 12, it says, and then the woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. A lot of people argue about what that is and who is the woman and what's the eagle and what's the dragon that was chasing her. Here's Pastor Mike's best interpretation of that verse. Is there was a point in the early church history when the early church was being persecuted, and right before Jerusalem was destroyed, Jesus had prophesied to them, if you're still living in Judah, when it all comes down, get out. He said, flee into the wilderness. And so according to two different ancient historians, right before the attack happened by the Romans, most of the Christians got out of Jerusalem and went up the valley to a place called Pella, up in the wilderness. It was up in the Decapolis. And God saved that remnant of the early church because they followed the words of Jesus and they got out. And it's like God gave that early church wings like an eagle and they flew into the wilderness and he kept them there. I love that picture about the Lord looking after his friends from the very beginning to the very end. He's going to look after us. And whatever it is that you've got challenging in your life, if we would just follow after him and let him be the one that carries us. We don't have to fight every battle, but he is the one, even when we're weak, he is strong. I gave this word to the youth pastors, or children's pastors. I had a camp meeting with them, and this dawned on me. Most of the children's pastors that are coming to camp, you know, they're trying to get all their kids signed up for camp, but most of them are exhausted because they just had VBS. They're all just tired. Then I had a meeting with them Saturday. They're always just going like, oh. And I said, I got a word from you. It's from Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength and they'll mount up with wings like eagles. Amen? Amen. How many need wings like eagles today? The second part is he says, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. No one can measure it. So the second part is about his unfathomable wisdom. It's so deep. I had to look up how to spell unfathomable, by the way, and that is correct. So you can write it in your notes. And so it talks about not only giving us his strength, but he says we can also tap into his unfathomable wisdom. How many know that God has wisdom that's greater than ours? Oh, man, does anybody have a hard time admitting that? That's one of the most common reasons I have to reach out to him. I said, Lord, I need your guidance today. I need your wisdom. He helps me with things that are ministry related. Sometimes he helps me find my keys. Anybody else? Sometimes he just helps me to know what I'm supposed to prioritize today, or whether or not I'm supposed to be worried about something, or what it is that I'm to put first in my life. His wisdom from his word comes each and every day. And God said one of the most common problems he had with the children of Israel throughout their history is they just stopped listening. That ever happened to your children? Not your children. They listen all the time. And you know the word interesting? The word Shema in Hebrew means not only to listen, but it's more like heed. How many know there's a difference between hearing the word and actually doing what you've been told? I'm talking to the moms and dads here. You haven't experienced this. And if you can't think of it, maybe you're the one somebody else is thinking about. I can tell them, but they just don't do it. And so in Psalm 81, God complains about his people and says, but my people would not listen to me. Man, does that ever. I'm sorry to interrupt the scripture for a random act of ADD. But my sister's husband's dad, my brother-in-law's dad, he's gone home to be with the Lord now, but he used to live down in California. We went to visit him one time, and we were listening to a song on the radio. He goes, Mike, have you ever heard that song by Don McLean? And I don't mean American Pie. There was another famous song by Don McLean back in the 60s, because he had raised six children. Six, wasn't it, Molly? Six children. And his wife was gone for most of that, so he raised them by himself. And he goes, and I looked at him, he just looked like a survivor. And he'd taken me to Home Depot one time, and he said, Mike, you ever heard that song on the radio, Starry, Starry Night? I said, oh, I think I do remember that song. He goes, there's one line I sing to myself all the time whenever I think about my kids. They are not listening. They're not listening still. Perhaps they never will. He said, get ready, because that's what it means to be a father. I said, oh, man, I wish he was wrong. Where was I? Verse 11 says, but my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. Oh, man. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways. Raise your hand if you're stubborn in this place. Anybody have a problem with stubbornness? You're getting used to my little tricks, aren't you? You know what I'm going to say. You people with your hands down, you're the ones I'm talking about right now. You're in church right now and you can't even admit you got stubborn. Of course we're stubborn. We're human. Are we not human? We are born saying no. You never had to teach your children the word no. You had to teach them other things, but they know how to rebel. It's just part of our human nature. And friends, if there is a natural example of what it means to float and to be carried by the Lord, we had such a great a tragedy that happened last week that's such an example of stubbornness as well. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but did anybody else find it incredibly ironic? I'm not going to say it was prophetic because I think it just so happened. But that I showed a clip last week about the Titanic. Was it last week or the week before? Week before. And on that very Sunday, 2 weeks ago, on that very Sunday, there was a tragedy with a submarine that was going down to see the Titanic. I couldn't believe it. And it was horrible, and I don't ever want to take advantage of a situation like that or pile on, and I just feel bad about this. I feel bad about every loss of life. I really do. And I know it happens. I know people get in car wrecks. I know people have tragic illnesses. I know people are victims of nature or sometimes of human error. These things happen. It reminds us of how fragile and important our lives are and to take every advantage of every moment. But it bothered me. Sometimes it just bothers me. I get bothered by stuff. Molly can tell you this. Years ago, an unrelated story. Some guy died stranded in his car up 5 miles past Powers, down where we used to live. And 5 miles up there, got caught in the snow and died. And I couldn't sleep all night long. I just kept thinking of all the ways I wouldn't have died if I was in that car. And it just bothered me, unnecessary death. And everybody said, well, this is just, it makes sense. They tried to go down, you know, all that way down to the Titanic. You know, it's all this distance under the water. It is, it's 12,000 feet under the water. That's a lot. If you've ever dove to the bottom of the pool, you know pressure increases. By the time you get down there, it's incredible pressure. And so it takes very special vehicles to go down to the Titanic. But they've been doing it. I saw an interview with James Cameron, who was the director of the Titanic movie. He himself has been down 30 times. And so I heard a lot of people on the news saying, well, this is just people pushing science too far. We shouldn't be tempting nature and going down that deep. I said, no, actually, they do it a lot. This is not beyond the bounds of nature. They have vehicles. In fact, you know, one of the first times somebody ever went down to the bottom of the Marianas Trench, you know where that is? It's the deepest spot on the planet. Marianas Trench is 3 times deeper than the Titanic, 36,000 feet. Do you imagine that? 36,000 feet. You know when the first time we went down there? 1960. We've known how to get down there since 1960. And since that point, no one has ever died on a deep sea dive like that until 2 weeks ago. You say, what changed? We had the technology. Well, I'm a science nerd, so can I just explain? This is the way my brain works. I have to learn everything about it because it bothered me so bad. And so here's the picture of that. It's called the Trieste. Two guys went down in it, and one was Swedish, one was American. It was based on the idea of a bathysphere, which is a spherical object. Now, I just want to talk to you about something. Can I just talk geometry for a second, physics? You know what the best shape to make something to go down deep is? A sphere. You're never going to forget this again, just like you remember last summer I told you always got to protect the noggin. If you're ever going to go down deep, you got to go in a sphere. Why? A sphere is a God-given shape. It's the reason that Earth and the moon and the stars, what shape are they? They're spheres. Why? Because that's what happens when gravity pulls them in all directions and it's equally distributed. Sooner or later, the gravity spins that ball of dirt into a sphere. It's the reason that bubbles are spherical. You blow a bubble, you don't have to tell it. You ever blown a bubble and it was a square? No, never. Why? Because bubbles are round because there's pressure on the inside blowing out, pressure on the outside blowing it, and when the pressure is equidistant, then it becomes this shape. I know they kind of wobble around, but eventually they become this shape. Why? Because the sphere is the perfect shape to make something that distributes the pressure evenly all around it. And so on the bottom, you say, that isn't a sphere. I said, no, this whole thing isn't a sphere, but you see what's on the bottom is a sphere. That's where the guys were. The rest of it was just a big tank to hold gasoline because gasoline doesn't compress and it's lighter than water. So that's what floated them was gasoline. The two guys were down there in the bottom. They went down 36,000 feet, came back up. They're still alive to tell the story. Sphere. What shape? Here's another one. This is called Alvin. Now, we've been using this throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's kind of the same ship, but we've rebuilt it about 20 times. So there's nothing original on it. And it goes up and down, and it's shaped, it has a different shape, you can't see it, but this is a few years back when we were retrofitting it with a new, what is it? Sphere to put the people in, built out of 4-inch thick titanium. If you're going to go down deep, go down into a 4-inch thick titanium ball or a steel ball, you won't have any problems. How many are with me so far? Okay, here's another one. Actually, James Cameron helped design this, and he went down in this in 2012 and broke the record of the two guys that did it back in 1960. I didn't know this about him. I thought he was just a movie maker. But he also holds the record for deepest deep dive. And he built this thing. Most of that is just foam that doesn't compress because that's where he is. But guess where he was? Inside a sphere. All right. Now I'm going to show you a picture of something else. This is not the same ship, but this is the replica of the ship that went down 2 weeks ago. And it was built by a CEO up in Everett, Washington. And he tested it out in Puget Sound, which isn't very deep. But his idea was, can't we make these things cheaper so that more people could go down deep and visit the Titanic? And so he says, I'm not building it out of expensive steel. I'm going to build it out of carbon fiber. All of the scientists, including James Cameron, said, carbon fiber won't work. You have to use steel or titanium. And he says, and also, you can't fit enough people in a sphere. He says, I'm going to make mine a cylinder. And guess what? Cylinders aren't as good as spheres. And so it had a bubble on the front, and then it had a tail on the back. It's built out of carbon fiber. The head of his oceanic department resigned over it because he said it's not safe enough. Scientists looked at it, and they said every time you take carbon fiber down and bring it back up, it flexes and swells, and it starts to delaminate. That didn't matter to this guy. He kept taking people down. Said, "Ah, we've been down several times, and nothing's happened." And so I want to tell you who else how cheap this thing was. He was really proud of the fact that it has no chairs. Notice there's just like some mattresses on the floor so that you can put five people in there instead of two. It had grab bars that he bought from Home Depot. It had some LED lighting on his side. His steering wheel was a PlayStation 2 controller. And it had no navigation system. No way to tell where they were. His navigation system was the ship up top that they had hired, would keep track of them with sonar and text him directions. And every once in a while, the communication would go out and they'd be floating around for a couple hours till the communication went back up. Time after time, I saw this interview with James Cameron. He said, "You know, the part that breaks my heart and that is so ironic is even though after all those years, and it wasn't certified by the government or anything, he was proud of that fact that he went around all the rules. And he says, it's ironic to me that he built this ship to go down to see the Titanic. And one of the things the Titanic is famous for is the stubbornness of the captain, who after being told over and over and over there's icebergs up in the water, he kept plowing ahead full steam. And all those people died. And just like the Titanic, friends, the problem with this vessel and those poor people that died, including the CEO, by the way, is they did not die because of a failure of equipment. They died because of a failure to listen. And I think it's important to learn lessons from history. And if we're not careful, the same thing can happen to us. What is it that the Lord has been trying to tell you? What is it that your friends and family have been trying to tell you? What is it that people all around you that love you have been saying, you need to look out for this. You need to do this thing. I love you. I'm just concerned about you. I want to do this thing. What is it that people are telling you that you aren't listening to? Friends, the Lord said, if my people would just listen to me. God's trying to speak to us, not because he doesn't want us to have fun or he doesn't love us. He's trying to speak to us because he loves us. And so the worst thing that we could do is get stubborn hearts and stop listening. Anybody else say amen? And so every time we lack wisdom, and this is one of the... one of the greatest promises in Scripture comes from James chapter 1, and it just says this. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Would you read it with me again? If you don't have this verse memorized. If any of you lack wisdom, by the way, does anybody not lack wisdom in this? Proud enough to raise your hand today? No, you're not going to do it. If anybody lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And so he doesn't care if it's your fault or not. He says, I just want to help you. How many would turn your back on your kids or your grandkids if they came and asked you for advice? You know, so many times, parents and grandkids, wouldn't their life be a lot better if they just listened? Nobody said amen to that? Okay. Is it because your kids are here? You don't want them to? Yeah, okay. I remember years ago, and I can't even tell you, I told a lot of vulnerable stories last week. I can't even tell you the whole situation, but it's many, many years ago, we went through our first dip as a church. We had grown for several years, and we had a mini recession, and people had to move out of town, and we had different things that kind of fell out. And for the first time as a senior pastor, our budget got cut by quite a bit. Just a natural thing. And I kept thinking positive and thinking positive. Ah, it'll turn around. It's just kind of a little hiccup. You know, it's nothing big. And it didn't turn around. And I remember even just being out on my porch after several months of just looking at it and saying, you know, I thought we were led of the Lord, but, you know, we're going in the hole and we can't do this forever. This can't straighten around. Just like you can't do that in your home budget either. And that meant I had to make some really hard decisions. And I'm out on the back porch and I'm praying about it, wrestling about it. And finally, I just sat and listened. And the Lord spoke to me so carefully. He just said, do this and this. And I was like, oh. And trust me, neither one of them. One of them had to do with the change. And the other one had to do with investing in somebody different. And I said, all right. He said, Mike, I said, Lord, but I want to keep going forward. He goes, Mike, if you're going to go forward, you've got to go backwards. And I remember this word from him. He just said, you have got to look yourself in the mirror and admit this isn't 2 years ago. This is today. And I if you're going to go forward, you've got to make some tough calls. And I remember that conversation with him. It probably wasn't as many words involved. With me, it's more just like a gut feeling. But I knew when I went back in, I went up and told Molly, I said, here's what the Lord told me. And she's my confirmer. She goes, you heard from the Lord. That's right. I said, oh, man. And I got to admit, it wasn't easy. But still today, I am still convinced. If I hadn't have made those tough calls back then, we wouldn't be where we are today. And sometimes you have to be willing to go back. And you say, Lord, you told me this 2 years ago. Yeah, but this isn't 2 years ago. It's not 10 years ago. It's not 20 years ago. And it's not good enough for us to have listened to the Lord 20 years ago. Jesus said that mankind does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord. That means we got to get it up every morning and get it afresh like manna. Lord, what are you telling me today? I said, yeah, but he said, listen, but I'm telling you something new today. And if we listen, I'm telling you here today that almost every good decision I've ever made, I'm just going to go all the way. Every good decision I've ever made, it's because I stopped and I asked the Lord about it. And I asked for wisdom. And by the way, he doesn't always speak to me through the clouds. Many times his voice sounds an awful lot like Molly's voice. If you didn't know that about your wife yet and your husband, sometimes he speaks to me through my kids or my parents or my good friends in the church or the staff. And in order, if we're going to hear it, we have to have a heart to listen because he has unfathomable wisdom. Amen. And the last thing is he has inexhaustible power. And I think I've kind of, by the way, you know, he says he gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak. You know what the difference between those two words are? Really nothing. It's the same thing. This is what's called in Hebrew poetry parallelisms. One word is koach and the other word is otzma. One means force and the other one means power. It's the same thing. He gives strength and power and it never runs out. And the Lord knows, friends, if you're feeling weak today, don't be embarrassed. The Lord knows. That's how he made us. He made us designed to be dependent upon him. He knows what we're made of. Here's another great verse from the great Psalm 103, which is one of the great return from Babylon psalms to recount all of the Lord's blessings. He says, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. How many are with me so far? We are like grass. Isaiah says that too. He says, all people, earlier on in Isaiah 40, he says, in English it says, all people are like grass. In Hebrew it says, people are grass. People are grass. That's all we are. We come and we go, we blow away. Compared to God, we are just temporary and we do not sustain. It's just, you can't put all your trust in people. It's got to be in the Lord. You know, I think it's a good thing. The search for renewable power sources, we're still looking for it. I think it's a good thing, don't you? This isn't a political statement, by the way. We all know that if we exhaust the planet's resources forever, eventually we're going to run out. There's only so much. I am all for looking for renewable sources, but I know how far away we are so far. And this concerns me. Some people say, well, it's just easy, Pastor Mike. Just set a goal for 5 years that everybody has electric cars. And I said, yeah, but okay. Now, this is not against electric cars, by the way. I think they're great. All my kids think we should be driving electric cars. So it's not against electric cars. But did you know, if I go out and buy an electric car today, just for example, 2003, when I drive that car home, 38% of it will be powered by natural gas. Why? Because that's where we get our electricity. So I don't know if you knew this, but if I drive an electric car home, 30% of it will be powered by natural gas. 22% will be powered by coal. I said, can you believe that? 22% of that electric vehicle is coal powered. 19% is nuclear. Wind is 9%, hydroelectric is 6%, solar is 3%, biomass, which is wood and waste products, is 1%. 0.5% of it is good old-fashioned petroleum. That's kind of ironic. 0.4% is geothermal. I did the stats, and this is from the government stats from 2022, by the way. This isn't political. But that, as of yet, even if I try to drive an electric vehicle, only 15% of it will be powered by renewable resources. 85% will be non-renewable resources. What's the point of this all? The point is about remembering where our source and our strength is, friends. The only truly renewable source of strength on the planet is the Holy Spirit. Everything else winds down. My own strength winds down. The strength of my muscles winds down. My food source winds down. All of those things do. And by the way, I got to come back again, lest anybody think I'm preaching against renewable resources. I'm not. We need to find renewable resources. I thought corn was going to be the answer. It didn't really pan out. We need to find something new. But I'm going to tell you, even before we do that, you have a renewable resource in you. A truly renewable resource. Not one that you have to fill up your tank, not one that you have, not one that's ever going to run out. You have the Lord in your life. And you might be running low today, saying, I feel so weak today, I'm so tired. Lord, I don't know if I can make it another day. Well, guess what? Those that wait upon the Lord, you know it. They will what? Renew their strength. They'll do what? Mount up with wings, soar our wings like eagles. I love that. With his help, we can do more than we think we can. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Oh man, that's a lot. Immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work with us, to him be all the glory. How many know that we can do a lot more than we think we can when God is on our heart? This is just a word of encouragement for anybody that's feeling a little bit tired, a little bit weary. I want to end you. It's summertime. Kids are here. I want to show a clip from one of my favorite animated movies. I hate to call it a cartoon because it really was a feat of science at the time. And I can't believe it's been almost 20 years since Incredibles first came out. But this was my favorite. I saw this in the movie theater with my little kids and I just thought, I said, Lord, give me an illustration of what it means to run and not grow weary. And all I could think of was Little Dash. If you never saw The Incredibles, it's a family of superheroes, only they've been decommissioned. They haven't been allowed, and so the two kids have grown up without being able to use their superpowers. Dash is a little rambunctious kid that's faster than all of his friends, and all Violet knew about her as the awkward teenager is that she disappears when a cute boy comes around. Neither one of these kids grew up even knowing the full extent of their power until they had to. Until their back was against the wall. Just watch this scene for a second.
You think they're supers?
Dash, remember what Mom said.
Hey, stop talking.
Hold it, freeze!
Dash, run!
What?
Run!
Oh, yeah.
What the? They're supers!
Get the boy! Show yourself!
darkness disappear. You can't hide from me. There you are.
You're welcome. Those of you that don't have kids and have never seen that, it was the most advanced animation film ever made when it came out. It was just a kind of a work of genius, and I loved it. How many would love to be able to run like that little kid? Some of you are thinking, Pastor Mike, I'd just be happy to get to the bathroom on time. You know what I mean? Forget about all of that, but I just love it. Here, these kids, they didn't know what they were capable of because they'd never been put in that situation. You know, Corrie Ten Boom, the Holocaust survivor, used to talk about grace. And she used to talk about grace as something that God never gives you until you need it. He says, you don't think you can get through it, but God's not going to give you somebody else's grace. He's going to give you the grace you need. And you don't have Holocaust survivor grace because you've never been in a Holocaust. But God gives you the grace to survive your thing, whatever it is that you're going through. My favorite part of that whole scene was when she all of a sudden creates a force field because she needed to, and he says, how are you doing that? And she goes, I have no idea. He goes, whatever you do, don't stop. I love that part. You know, there might be a point in time, even this next week, somebody comes up on you, they know what you're going through. And I would just pray. It would be what a wonderful gift. Somebody comes up to you and says, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you're getting through this season of your life. And you can just say, I don't know either. But it's awesome. It's awesome. The Bible talks about peace that surpasses understanding. I think there is a grace and a strength that surpasses understanding too. A supernatural. When we run out and then God kicks in. And he helps us to do things that we didn't think we could ever do. I didn't think I'd be able to get through this. I've battled through things even in the last 2 years I never thought I'd battle through and would have probably told you I couldn't do it. But here I am by the grace of God. Here you are by the grace of God. Amen. And he's still going to be faithful to it. Can I just pray for you this morning? Lord, I just pray today for strength, for anybody that lacks strength, Lord God. I pray for wisdom, for anybody that lacks wisdom. And Lord, when we lack both, I pray for grace. Grace that surpasses understanding. Grace that's bigger than it makes sense. Grace that's longer than we could ever have the ability. Lord, that you would raise us up with wings like eagles. Lord, that we'd run and not grow weary. We'd walk and never faint. Whatever it is that you've given us, Lord God, we need your spirit inside of us today. We give you the praise today. Friends, while nobody else is looking around, if you're here today and you just want to ask the Lord for just a special strength for whatever it is that you're going through, just say, Lord, come into my life today. Be my Lord and my Savior and pour out your grace upon me. Does anybody want to invite him into their heart today? Would you just look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody like that today? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Bless your heart. Well, friends, would you just stand to your feet with me today and amen. Grab somebody's hand next to you. Stand if you're able to. If not, just sit and let's pray together. Say this, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Be the wind beneath my wings. I give it all to you today. Everything that I am and everything that I have is on the altar before you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go in the grace of the Lord. I love all of you so much. And I hope to see you at 11:30 on Tuesday out at Prescott Beach. Lord bless.